Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization, broadcasting today from Studio A. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy another evening of informative, engaging, and exciting news and information from the Private Officer Organization. Good evening and welcome to another great edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Yes, we are live tonight from Studio A, and we're glad that you have joined us for this exciting radio telecast, because tonight we've got great information to share with you as always, and we have a very interesting topic that we'll be discussing later tonight: victim with a badge. Many times people just don't consider, don't think, doesn't even cross their mind how people in the public safety industry and private security are affected by the crimes, the bloodshed that they see, and the events that continuously cross their paths during the course of their job. So tonight we'll be talking a little bit about the victim with a badge. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, and we're glad that you have joined us tonight for this edition. We want to welcome several new members in Nigeria as well as Canada who are on the radio with us tonight. Thanks for joining us here on the program and in your membership with the association. We hope that you had a chance to join us last Thursday evening. We had a great conference call. We had about 30 people on the call. If you missed it, you missed a great conference call, great exchange of information. A lot of things were discussed. We will have another conference call scheduled sometime this week or beginning of next week before the Thanksgiving break, and we will be sharing a lot of great news and information, some new services, and some new membership benefits. So be looking for that email in your mailbox to give you a heads up on to where, when, how, and all that good information. But we did really have a great conference call, and we're going to go over a couple of the hot button items with you here in a little bit, so that you'll have a little inside information here. But if you have missed the call, well, you know, no fair, no foul, no whatever it is, no no problem. We will again schedule another one, and we'll continue to schedule them periodically. But if you did miss the call, I'll share some information with you coming up. We talked a lot also last week about some other exciting things happening. We are really excited, very excited, about the new chapters opening up for the next couple of weeks. We have a brand new chapter coming up in Nashville, Tennessee. Another one coming up in North Carolina in the Raleigh, Durham area, which will be open right after the holidays are over with. A brand new chapter that is opening within the next week or two in Richmond, Virginia, and a brand new chapter opening in Springfield, Missouri. So we're really excited about all these chapters popping up. It has been a long time coming and a lot of hard work. You know, you may have been a long listener, a long-time listener, and you may have thought that we just forgot about the chapter idea, but not so, not so. Things don't always happen as fast as you'd like for them to, but they are happening, and if you are interested in being part of a chapter in your area or you'd like to be a chapter manager, just send us your information at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we will definitely send out some information to you, and as well as interview you and talk with you and tell you more about how the chapters work, what they're all about, and get you excited and get you involved. In the breaking news tonight, some unfortunate news that we have to bring to you. If you haven't read our emails over the weekend, we unfortunately have a number of security officer deaths to announce. Over the weekend in San Francisco, a security officer on the way to work was pinned under a metro bus, a city bus, under the tires and succumbed to his injuries. Now, his identity has not been released, but he was a security officer on the way to work. The last information that we got earlier today was that the bus driver did not see him in the crosswalk and struck him, pinning him under the bus, literally. And we will get you more information as we're updated, and we'll release his name and information as soon as we get it. Another security officer death, this time in Atlanta, Georgia. On Saturday, a security officer was found dead in his vehicle, been there for at least 10 hours or more. He was working a double shift. He was found dead near the Atlanta International Airport, south of the city, and police have not released his identity. We did hear that it's a possible natural cause, but that information has not been confirmed, and we will update you on that as well. A security officer in Houston, Texas, over the weekend was involved in an armed confrontation at an apartment complex. Police say that the security officer had gotten involved in some type of confrontation with a person in the parking lot at the Villa Rosa Apartments on South Willow Drive in the southwest area of Houston. Evidently, the suspect, the person that he was having a confrontation with, notified, I guess he called on the cell phone, his father, Humberto Vasquez, 66, came out of the apartment armed and confronted the security officer in defense of his son. The security officer and the father exchanged gunfire. The father was killed. The security officer was shot. Houston City Police now say that they are investigating to determine if any charges will be lodged against the security officer to see if he has used deadly force unnecessarily. However, again, information that we have from HPD is it looks like a clean shoot at this time, and probably we won't know the outcome of this until after the DA's office, the district attorney, reviews all of the information, all of the reports, all of the eyewitness testimony. It may even at that point go to a grand jury to see if they will indict him. But at this point, it looks like probably not. It looks like he justifiably used deadly force. Again, you know, these things, you just never know. You never know how they're going to turn out and how a DA is going to handle it. Every jurisdiction is different. Every area is different. You just don't know from one jurisdiction to the other. I've had situations where a shooting of an armed suspect, you know, never even makes it to the grand jury, that the DA and the police justifiably say it's a good shoot. And then you see some of these shootings where the suspect was armed, security has to defend themselves and others, and yet the case goes to the grand jury and they get indicted for manslaughter or, you know, second-degree murder, and so you just never know how these cases will turn out. So we will be following this because, you know, to me it looks like a good shoot there in Houston, and we will definitely let you know as information comes available. We also have information that came in to our office earlier today that a police officer was killed in the line of duty. And actually, we understand just within the last hour or so that the officer was from a town not too far from here, Officer Robert Shane Wilson of the Doraville Police Department, that's in the Atlanta, Georgia metro area, was killed today while driving his vehicle. He was struck head-on on Interstate 20 by an SUV. Officer Wilson was off-duty but on call as part of his department's SWAT team, and therefore it is considered a officer-related death, an on-duty-related death, and that's in the city of Doraville, Georgia. And police are investigating more why this vehicle was traveling the wrong way, how it got on Interstate 20 heading in the wrong direction, and we will let you know if there are any charges against the driver of that vehicle. We have several guests lined up for tonight. I understand that one of the chaplains that is supposed to be on the show may not be able to make it because he's been called out on an emergency, but we do have several other guests, and this may even become a part two type situation because we have a lot of information, victim with a badge, that we want to share with you tonight. As always, always want to remind you, if you are a new listener, if you are someone not familiar with the Private Officer International Association organization, you can follow us on the internet 24/7. We're all over the web. Just go to our website, the main website at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com, and you can link right there from our homepage. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow our breaking news on WordPress. You can follow our own forums right there. You can link all of that from our main website address at www.privateofficer.com. If you're one of those Facebook kind of people and you like to Facebook it, then definitely please go to our web, our address there on Facebook, and like us there, become our friend. And if you want to keep up on all of the news that's happening, we keep up on the news 24/7. We always have someone working on the breaking news relating to private security and law enforcement. And if you are a Twitter kind of person, if you join LinkedIn with us on Twitter, then you'll be able to get that breaking news because our news blog is hooked right into the Twitter feed, and you'll get that breaking news instantly. So, again, if you're new here to the Private Officer Association, we want to invite you to become partners with us, become a member, participate in the training that we have, as well as, you know, be part of our forums. We've got a great forums, and I don't really understand why more people don't join the forums. We've got about 650 members right now, but we've got a lot of great training going on free of charge. We have a lot of great networking, security and law enforcement from across the country and around the world, several other countries, Spain, Canada, Brazil, Australia are on the forums. And we have a lot of great video, a lot of information being shared. And in fact, that's where a lot of what's going on with POI is, you know, broadcast immediately right there, including officers down and injured. That's one of the locations where we update the information almost instantly. So you'll want to check it out. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and link over to the forums and become a forums member today. We have a lot of stuff to talk to you about tonight. We have a little bit, I'm going to share a little bit with you momentarily, about what we talked about on the conference call, if you missed that, and a couple of great new benefits that we're going to offer as well. But we're very excited about this training. We have some training coming up this week. It's called the SST-01 training. It is the Security Supervisor Training Phase 1. If you have not joined, if you have not enrolled in this, it's free of charge if you are a POI member in good standing. Go to our website at the top of the page, click on and enroll today because it's free of charge. If you're not a member, you can either join for $42 a year, or there's a couple of great specials going on right now, or you can just pay just $25. This is a $200 course, but you can pay just $25. That's all, $25. It's a four-part training series, online, as well as conference call and tabletop problem-solving interactive training. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff in store for those enrolled in the class, so you won't want to miss that. And, again, just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and click on, at the top of the page, I think it is, click on where the supervisor training link is and enroll. And like I said, if you are a member of POI in good standing, then it's free of charge to you. Absolutely free of charge. It won't cost you nada, zero. So check it out at the website. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking a little bit about what we said on the conference call and also giving you some heads up on some other information that we want to share with you.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
He said half a hit of E would be fun. They said half a hit of E would be fun. They lied. Find out the truth about drugs. Drugfreeworld.org.
172, no water warrant.
21, Roger.
All right, welcome back to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. As we were saying, if you missed the conference call the other night, well, then you've missed a pretty good conference call. We had a lot of people show up on the call, and we had a lot of great topics that we were talking about. A couple of things I wanted to share with you that we was able to talk about there on the conference call. And, you know, if you missed it, it's okay. We're going to have another one later in this week or next week, and we'll have a few others before the Christmas holiday. So, you know, you won't be totally in the dark. But some of the things that we were talking about was the state directors. We have a number of state directors selected, and we will be making that announcement after the first of next month in December, right after the Thanksgiving holiday. But we had a very enthusiastic response from many people who wanted to be involved. The state directors of the association will be the initial go-to person in their state. They'll be the person who will help out with the officer down response teams, the benevolent services, the information, the legislative part, as well as recruiting and networking and making sure that our chapters in those states get up and running and just be our go-to person all around. And we've got a number of folks selected. We'll be talking more about that right after the Thanksgiving holiday. We also talked about the status of the felony assault charge. We have several meetings coming up in the next 30 days in several states. We've had a lot of great response, and just recently the state of Tennessee has gotten on board with a number of training items and some other things, and we'll be talking more about that as they come to fruition. And as long as we have people in each state, security professionals in each state helping us, we will be able to successfully meet our goals and make things a reality for the private security industry. So I'm very happy that a good number of folks across the country and even around the world are getting involved in the cause to make security officers more professional, better trained, and to protect them by getting legislative acts, laws passed to protect them. We also talked about a couple other things, including putting together an award committee. We'd like to have volunteers across the country and around the world help us to select those deserving of awards. And basically, we want to put together a couple of committees that would review various heroics and professionalism of, you know, by security officers, information that we receive via the news or by submission from other folks, and deciding on what type of an award we should present them with. And this kind of puts it back in the hands of those of you who are members, and it helps you, especially if you're a advisory board member or a state director, it helps you to be involved, directly involved, in your area as well. A couple of the other things that we've been talking about and was mentioned on the call was training. We are establishing a number of training events after the first of the year, and we would like for you to help us to put those training events in place in your state. Seminars, maybe once a year, twice a year, events that we would offer to the security community either free or relatively very cheap. So something for you to think about, and we'll be talking more about this in the upcoming months, especially as we move past the holidays and into the new year. I love the holidays, but the problem is the problem is that when we are in this time of the year, between now and January 1st, a lot of what we do is slowed down because a lot of people are already involved with family commitments, the holidays, Christmas shopping, Thanksgiving dinner, taking long naps, watching football. Hey, bad news if you're an NBA fan. Did you hear about this? I don't want to, you know, I don't want to ruin your day if you haven't, but FYI, since I love basketball, looks like there may not be a basketball season this year. Things are not looking good. Things are not looking good. You may have to find other things to do, like listen to my radio program twice a week or something like that. But we mentioned a lot of things on the conference call. But a couple of other great things that we are going to be doing that we mentioned that we have not brought up and we have not officially announced. We have initiated or will be initiating a new Institute of Professional Security Management. IPSM, Institute of Professional Security Management, will kick off the first of the year, and it will be a training program for all levels of security management. And the course that we're giving out this week is just a preliminary, just a little bit of heads up, a little bit of insight as to what we'll be offering. But the Institute of Professional Security Management will be for all levels of supervisory and management personnel, everyone from shift supervisor to patrol supervisor to an account supervisor to a district or operations manager, regional manager, branch manager. We will have numerous training courses that will assist those who are either in those positions or looking to increase their education and training in the profession so that they can seek those professions, those promotions in their career later on. But the Institute of Professional Security Management will be an arm of Armor University and therefore will be credited. And also, you will receive, if you are a member of POI, you will receive a discount for the training. And if you are a security company owner, you will receive a discount for each employee that you put through the program. This will be a very hands-on interactive training. Not only will it be available online, but it will also require that the participants have skill-based hands-on training through our regional partners, which we will be setting up shortly. And there'll be certain things that you'll have to qualify in person. And it's pretty cool. It can be pretty intense, but it will help the security industry overall to be more professional in their management and to prepare people to be supervisors. I mean, you know, in this industry, as with many others, people are thrown into a supervisory or a management position with no experience, no education, no nothing, and they don't know what they're doing, and it's not entirely their fault. It's just that they've been thrown in the fire with no way of saving them, you know, themselves, and here they are. But the Institute of Professional Security Management will, you know, change all that, and it will help to prepare both mine officers and career personnel already in the security management field. So I thought that was pretty exciting. Two other very important things that we discussed on the conference call. Beginning next year, we will be offering a $1,500 tuition scholarship to any member of POI, any family member of POI who was killed in the line of duty. And this scholarship will be for any school that they choose to go to, and it will be a very simple process to receive. So $1,500 scholarship to anyone, to the family member of a security officer killed in the line of duty. So I think that that is a pretty good benefit. The other thing I wanted to remind you, many people may or may not be aware of, is that we have a new member reward system, and it's points for training, for purchases, for participation and recruiting. It's very similar to an airlines or a hotel, you know, member or customer reward system. If you're not familiar with it, go to our website and check it out, because we've got a lot of great gifts. Upgrade your membership through the point system, free training, and other things that we will continue to add to it. And it's a very cool perk or benefit for being a member. So if you wasn't aware of it, you know, you are now. Go check it out. But not right now, not right now. Go check it out on the website in a little while, right after the show is over. But those are some of the things that we did discuss. If you missed the conference call, unfortunately, it was not recorded because, well, I was actually on the road at the time. And so I wasn't able to record it completely, but it will be next time. I promise. It will be next time. So we will have another one, another conference call. We'll try to do it this week, but if not, we will definitely have it right after the holidays. All right, a lot of other great stuff to talk about. I know that a couple of people have emailed me tonight and asked if we're going to have call-in segment. We do sometimes, you know, it just depends on what we have scheduled. If you'd like to call in, I've got a couple of minutes right now. You know, if you are one of those who emailed me and asked if we have a call-in segment tonight and you want to call in, the number to call in right now is area code 347-426-3807, area code 347-426-3807. Call and ask anything about the association, training, upcoming events, whatever. I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that because I am expecting a couple of guests to call in shortly, but I do have a couple of minutes. If you'd like to call in now, you can do it. Again, that number is area code 347-426-3807. And we'll just wait here to see. Also, in the meantime, while we're waiting on that to see if anybody calls in tonight, want to remind you that all of our radio programs are recorded, and they are on demand for playback 24/7, and they're forever stored in our library online. In fact, you can download it. A lot of people do download them to their iPods and other devices, and they listen to it at work or on the way to work, and you are more than happy. I'll be happy to point out the better ones. They're all good, but there are some better ones that you really should listen to, but they're free of charge. Or you can go to iTunes or some of the other digital formatted locations and download them for 99 cents each, whichever you prefer. We can use the money, trust me. Speaking of money, we've got a lot of members whose membership has lapsed. We have a lot of renewals out there that need to be taken care of. If you would, please go to our website at privateofficer.com/securityassociation and renew your membership today, because we really need to stay on top of our finances. We have a lot of things happening, and we need your support and your commitment to make this better. You know, a minute ago I was talking about the NBA, but this weekend something pretty, a little upsetting happened in the NFL. Denver Broncos wide receiver Eric Decker was assessed a penalty for an unsportsmanlike conduct on Sunday after dropping his knee and saluting in the end zone after a 56-yard touchdown reception from Tim Tebow. The flag was thrown because Decker went to his knee in celebration and recognition of the veterans. He was saluting Veterans Day, and he got a penalty for that. Some comment on some sports networks today said that, you know, should not have happened, especially since a certain someone, after running a touchdown, he went and gave the ball to his girlfriend, who's a cheerleader for the opposing team this week, and there was no penalty assessed on him. So there was a little controversy over that, and I don't know. I think that was wrong. We do have a call-in. Good evening. You are on the air.
Hey, good evening, Rick.
How are you tonight, John?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. We were talking tonight a little bit. We're going to be getting into the subject here momentarily about victims with the badge, how people in public safety and private security often are victims themselves. Victims of assault, victims of abuse, victims of the system. And knowing your background, I thought maybe you wanted to chime in and give your two cents on the subject. But before you do, if you would just kind of tell the audience who you are, a little bit about your background and what you're doing now, and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. Well, my name is John Moreau. I currently work as a private investigator. I am also a director of operations for an international maritime security agency. I have been in this industry pretty much majority of my life, in excess of 30 years. And,
you're about 100, aren't you?
Nice. Actually, I was just having a talk with a friend of mine I was stationed with in the military about that. But now I'm 53 years old. I'll be 54 in February. And so I've been in this industry for a very long time, and I've seen a lot of changes, both good and bad. So.
Mostly bad, huh?
I wouldn't say mostly bad, but a lot of it, I think, depends on what state you're living in, as far as the security industry goes.
Right. Being in security, you've seen a lot of officers injured and even killed in the line of duty. And would you say it's gotten worse over the years or about the same? Or
I think it's probably gotten a little bit worse over the course of the years because the job requirements for security officers has changed significantly from when I first initially got into the industry to what is expected from security officers in today's society. And yet,
right.
People's attitudes towards security officers has still remained pretty much the same. And in general, what I mean by that is most of the time people see the old guy wearing a uniform, somebody that's retired and doesn't have anything else to do with their life working in this business. And what I've seen specifically over the last several years is that's not so anymore. And we're seeing younger people come into the industry at, you know, starting at 18 years old in the state of Florida where I'm at. And they progress through the industry in one form or another.
Right. Now, you know, you see a lot of people getting hurt because of this as well. Hang on one second. I have another caller.
Okay.
Good evening. You're on Private Officer Talk Radio.
Chaplain James Scott, Charles, South Carolina.
Hey, Chaplain, can you hang on one second for me?
I am, no problem.
Thank you, sir. John, I know that you've been hurt on the job a couple of times. Just kind of briefly, can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Well, I've been, you pick it, it's pretty much happened, really. I've been hit, I've been spit on, I have been stabbed a couple of times. I have even been shot on one occasion. And
those events, what was the reactions of the employer, the client? Did you feel you were being supported? Did you feel that you were being, you know, backed up in the situation, or just the opposite?
Just the opposite. In today's business, it seems like most of the companies, all they care about is being able to fill a position with a warm body and somebody that breathes. And I'm sorry?
It doesn't seem to be changing much either, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's actually, I think it's getting worse. We recently had an officer killed here. The incident took place in June or July. The officer recently passed away in September here in Palm Beach Gardens. And the company went so far as to publish the replacement's name, the kind of car he drove, that he's not armed, working in the exact same location. That's, to me, that is not telling me that the company really cares about its employees.
Chaplain, how are you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. I understand that you just got in and that you've been pretty busy all day. I won't keep you but a few moments. Tonight we're talking about assaults and the effects that being in public safety or private security has not only on the offender or the victim, but also on the officer and the first responders involved. As you and I, as chaplains, know, many first responders, both law enforcement, firefighters, EMTs, and even private security, suffer, post-traumatic stress disorders, all sorts of eating and sleeping disorders because of their job. We know that alcoholism, suicide rates are through the roof in these professions. And in fact, just in the last 3 months, we've had five security officers, private security officers, commit suicide at their place of employment, something I haven't seen to this level in the 8 years that we've been in the association. So I'm wondering if this is starting to cross over to the private security industry as well, something that we've seen for so long in law enforcement. Now that security is getting more involved in first responder type activity, I'm wondering if this is not having an effect on them as well. But I wanted you to address a little bit about how seeing the crime and the bloodshed and the violence on a frequent basis, you know, how that affects the responder as well as their family and others that they, you know, have relations with.
It's going to be a completely terrible result, and it's not going to get any better for a number of years, number one, because of economy, and number two, because of the lack of ethics or morals in some corporations, and not looking at the situation. And if we're going to be something, your agency is going to be something, going to have to set up some preliminary or preventive maintenance type ideas with, yes, you're true, the entire family, because the family is a part of that officer and is primary for their well-being. And so
exactly.
They need to know what's going on, not waiting until an incident happens and then trying to do debriefing and follow-up and put the fire out after it's already there, because many of the suicides are a result of bad relations.
Exactly.
The suicide rate... Go ahead.
Failed to properly introduce you for our listeners. Mr. Scott is a chaplain, a law enforcement and public safety chaplain in South Carolina, who also you hold seminars and training, don't you? For
yes,
public
I do.
Safety?
That's
okay.
Where I've been with the VA today, working with military, post-traumatic
okay.
stress disorder.
So he has extensive training and background in this, and it's important to understand that because of what we see, it may not be blood and guts every day, but because of what we're involved in routinely, it eventually takes a hold of us. It eventually affects the way that we look onto society. It affects our relationships with our family, our friends, our employer. It even affects on us and how we do our job. And most of the time, you know, it really takes a toll in the end, either through performance or through other substance abuse or through violence. Many police officers are arrested for domestic violence, domestic assault, or other things because all the stress that's built up, all the anger that's built up, eventually has to come out. And unfortunately, it comes out at the wrong time with the wrong person.
You're very true.
In this situation, you have seen many public safety, not only law enforcement, but also emergency first responders. You've seen the toll that it takes on their family. Tell my listeners a little bit about how, especially post-traumatic stress disorder, how that could show up weeks and even months later after the incident.
Well, we're dealing at the present time. I can't give any specifics for confidential measures, but we're still
sure.
dealing with Vietnam era, heavy Vietnam era, homelessness, alcoholism, drug abuse, and post-traumatic stress disorder, all part of that because of things that happened in Vietnam. So you get an idea. Iraq's even worse, and the number of suicides. The age of the suicides for 2009 and 2010 for the U.S. Army and the U.S. Marine Corps happens to be age 25 and below. And it's a situation where it's they were not prepared for things. They did not know the proper outlets. They didn't know how to deal with day-to-day issues, their family, to be separated from their family. Whereas our private officers in the local area need to know the pluses and the minuses that prevent having post-traumatic stress or having the ability to commit suicide.
Right. John, when you were injured on the job, when you were stabbed and shot and other things, were you offered any assistance from your employer? Were you offered any counseling? Were you referred to any crisis intervention facility or any type of assistance like that?
No, absolutely not.
I knew it was going to be your answer, and I didn't want to laugh, but I wanted to make sure. But that's the problem we're running into. You know, many security officers are involved firsthand with violent situations, traumatic situations, and emergencies, almost some on a regular basis, but there's no assistance, no crisis intervention, no counseling, no referral, nothing.
You see, there has to be a direct debriefing, one to one, and on group one to group and one to one, a debriefing for every confrontational incident that takes place. If not, that builds up.
Right. Right. John, was there any, what happened after you were injured? Walk us through a little bit about one of the situations. You know, you were injured on the job, and obviously law enforcement and EMS came and whatever. What did your client do, or your employer do after that? Did they?
Basically, they didn't do anything. They just basically said, buck up and step back up. It was, they had the mentality of, well, you fell off the horse, get back on the horse and go again.
Yeah.
And I did. You know, as a result, I have had issues. And even to this day, I probably still have some of where, you know, I do have sleep issues. I don't work nights that much anymore. But I have problems sleeping. I have poor eating habits. Physically, the only thing that's really helped me kind of get through some of this is me. And I realized, you know, based on what the chaplain's saying and things like that, you know, I would go to things that would help me deal with issues, like getting physical exercise, going to the range and shooting, just things that help me deal with my personal stress on a daily basis.
Right.
And as I find as I get older even, it's even becoming harder to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Right. Chaplain Scott, do you have any recommendations as to what we can do on a daily basis or on a when we have had a rough day, when we've been involved in a shooting incident or we've responded to a crisis where, you know, it's really gotten to us. We know that overall law enforcement and public safety, they don't talk about it, they don't show it, but it eventually builds up within. Is there something that the individual can do to release that? I mean, we need to be talking to someone. What should we do?
That's right. Very much so. And with our great communication systems that we have nowadays, it becomes easier in one thing. They need face-to-face, being able to talk to someone face-to-face that is not their supervisor, a mentor-type situation, that's not their supervisor, not in that particular law enforcement agency that has, well, unless they're a chaplain, they don't have confidentiality, but it can be the same type of an agreement, so that they can have a Starbucks together. They have a 24-hour phone number that they can call 24/7, and knowing that, and also you have the second phase of that is a mentor from your organization that's assigned to you, that every time you have an incident, that person contacts you by telephone, email, whatever it is, and maintains an ongoing relationship with you by that mode, as well as the other person in the local area. Face-to-face meetings can be once a month over a Starbucks. It can be that type of situation. But anytime there's a critical situation, you need to have two avenues of someone that's an ear to hear. You don't have all the answers, but you don't need the answers. You just need someone to talk with and know and understand what's going on.
Exactly. One of the things that we have as an association is we have, as a member, they automatically, each member has access to our chaplain network, which I would like to talk with you in the next week or two and maybe get you on board as well. And we also have a network of counselors that they can talk with as well, both in person as well as on the phone or through email. We have a pretty good network set up, but unfortunately, a lot of security officers don't have that. A lot of public safety officers don't have that. And I was involved in a call out this weekend in a small department in North Carolina where the officer was involved in a shooting where he killed a suspect who was armed, and his department had no one to refer him to. And eventually, after 48 hours, they were going to refer him to a clinical counseling site who knows nothing about law enforcement, public safety, or they were not post-traumatic stress counselors or debriefers or any of that. And eventually, one of the officers that I know, a captain from another department, put him in touch with me, and we were able to help him out. A lot of police agencies and public safety agencies, I'm part of several rescue and fire departments, and we don't have, you know, any type of system where, you know, we can talk to anyone. And there's a lot of departments out there that don't have those set up, and there's a lot of companies who don't have those set up, and it should be.
Yeah, very much so. They should have, but it's going to be behooving us, you, to have that system, but also that system has to be able to contact the officer, because the officers aren't going to contact somebody.
Right, exactly. Hmm. Exactly. They're not going to take that step.
No.
You know, I appreciate your time, Chaplain Scott. Is there anything else that you want to, you know, let
not
us
a thing,
tell
but you're
us?
On the right track. Preparation. Whether it's semi-annual or annual or some way that you prepare, and with the webinars and the videos that you can put out now, is having all of those that are participating in your organization to have an idea of what preparation is for stress disorders, and then have a system set up so that all of your people that are mentor quality and debriefing quality are set up so that when you have an incident, your system contacts the officer personally and or by electronics, and then maintains that relationship for a long period of time.
Exactly. Do you have DVDs or know of DVDs that might be of interest to our members?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure do.
What I'll do is, if you could email us at your convenience some information about that, and also your
okay.
phone number. I'm not sure I have it. I know that we have it someplace in the file at the office, but I'm not there right now. But if you could do
well,
that.
I'll drop Stephanie. I think I got an email here from Stephanie.
Okay.
And
sounds
I'll
good.
Drop Stephanie the information, and I will be involved in the VA system again at 0600 tomorrow, and I'll drop Stephanie a note, or you can get my email, or you can give me whatever you need, and I'll send it to you.
Are you in Columbia or Charleston?
I'm in Charleston right now.
Okay. You're based out of Charleston?
Well, yes and no. I'm based out of California and out of for South Carolina area, I'm based out of Charleston, yes.
Okay.
I do a lot of operating out of Charleston Southern University and the VA hospital. In fact, I'm on staff at the VA hospital.
Okay, well, let's see if we can't get together maybe right after Thanksgiving.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks for your time. Get some rest, and I look forward to that email, and we'll get together right after the holidays.
All right, God bless you.
Thank you, God bless you. John, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
John, thanks for calling in. Is there anything else that you want to add on this subject?
Well, just real quick, that it's up to us as security officers to be responsible for our own safety. Each state has different laws and statutes that cover, you know, that are supposedly to protect us to a point. Just the only thing that I can really say is you have to be very careful in this industry, because it's not safe like everybody thinks that it is. And that's pretty
exactly.
much it, I think.
And you don't have to be on a high-risk location. 7 security officer deaths this year were at office complexes where the security officer basically had access control duties.
Yeah. Well,
so you don't have to be at an apartment. You don't have to be at a bar. You could just be at an office complex.
Well, this officer that was killed in Palm Beach Gardens, the area where he was at, is not a bad area. It's a very low crime area where he was. And I'm not sure if they ever caught the individuals that did it or anything.
No,
like
I
that.
Don't think so, John. I don't remember hearing about an arrest in that case.
Yeah, the main thing that I'm going to suggest to everybody is that you get continuing education because a lot of people think that just because you get a security license for states that require licensing, that's like all you ever need to do. You need to have continuing education. You need to be able to protect yourselves. And whether it's education, hand-to-hand, whatever, firearms training, whatever you can do to protect yourself is what needs to be done. I always tell my students that I do teach classes, and I tell my students, you get out of this industry what you put into this industry. If you don't put anything in, you're getting nothing out.
Exactly, like anything else. I appreciate your time, and we need to talk to probably one day next week.
It sounds good to me.
Thanks for your time, and I will be in touch with you in the next couple of days, John.
My pleasure, Rick. Thank you for having me, sir.
Okay, we are going to take a short break, but we've got some more information on this subject. Tonight we're talking about victim with a badge. We'll be right back.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
Victim with a badge. That's what we're talking about tonight. As public safety and private security officers nationwide, we often are the first responders to tragic incidents, shootings, fatality wrecks, medical emergencies, and a slew of other unbelievable chaotic scenes. We see it more, heartache, bloodshed, and violence more in 1 year than most people really see in a lifetime. Whether you're a police officer, a firefighter, an EMT paramedic, or a private security officer, we are exposed to so much. It's not hard at all to be affected by it because we see it, we feel it, we hear it. We are it. As a rookie, you're in disbelief when you arrive at the scene of a suicide, a murder where a husband has just killed his wife and kids because supper was late, the house wasn't clean, or he just got fired from work. With a few years of experience and a few more scenes of bloodshed, violence, and grief, you begin to build up a shell, a resistance to your emotions. And by the time that you've gotten 10 years on the job, you can walk through these scenes without emotion, without tears, and with a cold, stern look on your face, calloused and cold, just another scene. People won't understand it. They don't have a clue. They just think that cops and paramedics and anyone else with a badge are just cold-hearted, unfeeling individuals who aren't affected by the blood and guts, the dead children, the horrific crimes that they're called to see every day. But they're wrong. Emotions among first responders do run high, and they run the gamut. Take it from me, I've been in this business for 38 years. Sadness, hurt, pain, disbelief, anger, and even feelings of striking back at the one who's caused the injury or the death or the chaos. But officers have learned through training and experience to keep it all in check just to do their job. And don't let their personal feelings get in the way. But public safety officers and private security officers are not machines. They do have feelings. They do hurt inside. And what they see does affect them. They may not show it at that moment. They may do their job. But many, many first responders, both volunteer and paid, frontline and management level are strongly affected by the things that we see every day in the course of our jobs. Don't be fooled. Don't underestimate it. Oh, it was nothing to me. Oh, I see that stuff all the time. I can handle it. Yeah, man, I was involved in an active shooting scene yesterday. Heck, right after it was over, I went and had lunch. Although some people have learned to handle their emotions by talking to others or seeking out clergy or chaplains, many others, thousands, suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, even to the point of committing suicide. Unfortunately, as I was stating to the chaplain earlier, we have seen a rise of suicides by private security here in the U.S. For the first time in 8 years that the association has been operating, we have seen a suicide every 3 to 4 weeks committed by security officers on the job site. Just last week, a security officer supervisor in Los Angeles, California area committed suicide at his place of work. It was the weekend, and he shot and killed himself. No one knows quite why. They say he wasn't stressed out. He was his jolly old self. They can't understand what happened. But things that occur at home, things that occur at work, things that you are faced with, stress, money problems, health issues, and everything else combined becomes a bomb. And sooner or later, it goes off. The fact is that emergency workers, especially law enforcement, and those in the security industry have a higher suicide rate than the general public. Oftentimes, more officers are killed by their own gun than by any other act. Alcoholism, divorce rates, health issues, and early death are the unfortunate aspects of the life of a peace officer, private or public. You can't escape it, especially if you're not willing to talk about it. You have to understand, you have to recognize before it's too late.
Out of Euclid, Ohio, where it appears an officer of the police department there took his own life this morning at the police station. News Channel 5's Mario Liu joins us live from the Euclid Police Department with developing details on the story. Mario?
Leon, good afternoon. As you can imagine, everyone involved in this investigation is remaining very tight-lipped about what happened here this morning. But we did confirm through the coroner's office that a police officer did take his own life from here in the police department here in Euclid today this morning. You see the flag behind me flying at half staff. Also, the flags at the municipal building flying at half staff today. Now, again, no one is saying anything, but I did get a statement from the mayor's office. I'll go ahead and read that to you now. He said, the city of Euclid and the Euclid Police Department are saddened by the tragic passing of this.
Now on our top story, a Baltimore City police officer is at shock trauma at this hour after being shot. It happened shortly before 2 this morning in the unit block of North Calvert. According to police, officers were responding to a call for a possible armed person. As one of the officers approached a man for questioning, he pulled out a gun and opened fire. Backup units were able to return fire, wounding the gunman, but then the suspect fled the scene in a car and was later found at Mercy Medical Center.
A horrific bus crash kills at least 13 people in the Bronx. The accident happened around 5:30 a.m. local time Saturday. The tour bus with 32 passengers on board was traveling on I-95. According to officials, the bus was heading southbound when it flipped on its side after hitting a guardrail, nearly splitting the bus in half. At least 13 people were killed in the accident and 19 others injured, 8 of them said to be in critical condition. Police Commissioner Ray Kelly said that all the injuries sustained were
protectors of life and property. Those who wear the badge can be and are victims whether they recognize it or not. Sometimes it's a physical assault. Sometimes they're the victim of a murder. Sometimes they're a victim of abuse on the job. Other times, they become victims of their own job. They become victims of the tragedies that they see. They become victims of the system. They even become victims by being unsupported. Assaults and murders against private security are on the rise, and they've been on the rise for the past 5 years. 30,000 assaults against security officers every year. 9,000 serious injuries. 100 security officers killed in the line of duty every year. Security, law enforcement, and emergency workers can be and are victims of their job. Distrust, disrespect, unsupported by employers, clients, and those that they're paid to protect, low wages, few or no benefits. Many law enforcement officers, especially in the smaller communities, still make less than $15 an hour. Security officers, $8 to $10 an hour, $12 if they're in a higher paying position. They are victims every way, every which way they turn. They are a victim, unsupported. We talked a few moments ago with a security professional in Florida, someone who's been in this business like I for many years. He's been assaulted, stabbed, and even shot in the line of duty as a private security officer. Was his employer sympathetic? Was his employer helpful? Did his employer offer any counseling, any support? No. No. And I've received a number of emails just since I've been on the air saying the same exact thing. No matter what you are doing, no matter where you are assigned, you can easily fall prey to being assaulted, injured on the line in the line of duty. And yet no one at your employer is overly concerned. Private security today is becoming more and more the first responder. They're on the scene 9 times out of 10 before any fire department, EMT, or police force. Shopping centers, apartment complexes, office buildings, malls, amusement parks, music facilities, hospital facilities, colleges, schools, every place that you can look. Nowadays, almost every place is employing private security. They are becoming the true first responder. While that's a good thing for the employer financially, it's not so good for those doing the grunt work, doing the frontline security work, because now the security officer, the first responder, is seeing the bloodshed. They're seeing the chaos firsthand. They're getting involved in active shooter situations. They're getting involved in fights, thefts in progress, robberies in progress. And as a direct result of this, more and more private security officers are being injured and killed in the line of duty. More are becoming victims of post-traumatic stress disorder. More are becoming victims of abuse in one form or the other. Many people do not understand the risk at hand for private
courthouse
security.
Shooting that took place in Las Vegas, 8 o'clock Pacific time. We are now just getting cell phone video that was posted on YouTube that includes the sounds of the bullets as they were fired. Take a listen.
Oh, shooting outside of a Las Vegas courthouse. Morning for jury duty.
Now, of course, we don't know. We do know that there was a shootout with that suspect and authorities, but we can't tell you how many shots were fired on behalf of the shooting suspect, how many on behalf of authorities that actually shot and killed the shooting suspect. But we can tell you that he did shoot a deputy U.S. Marshal and a court security officer inside the Lloyd D. George Federal Courthouse in Las Vegas this morning. That court security officer has been reported dead. That coming to us from our affiliate there in Las Vegas, KLAS, and also the Associated Press. So right now, the suspect shot and killed, a court security officer killed, and a deputy U.S. Marshal. Still don't know the condition of that individual after that shootout that you just heard by
Right off the top, Dayton investigators on the scene right now of a brutal shooting that has left a security guard dead.
It happened just before 9 o'clock tonight at the United Foods on North Main Street, and that's where Shelby Constant is live with the latest breaking information. Shelby?
Mark Rochelle, I just learned the name of this man who was shot and killed here at United Foods. Family members tell me 41-year-old Charlie Conklin died here. Now, Dayton police say the security guard was shot outside here in the parking lot near the front entrance of United Foods. They believe the shooter only fired once, and right now police are investigating a motive. They tell us the grocery store was not robbed and the gunman never went inside the store. Now, we talked to the victim's good friend, Victor Lee, who tells us the shooting was absolutely senseless.
What is it going to take to stop all this violence? It's just so going so rapidly that we got to do something. We got to come together. We got to pull together.
Now, police have little to go on. They say that they are looking for two men. They gave little to no description, only said that they were wearing dark clothing. They're not even sure if the men left in a vehicle or if they ran from the scene. I did manage to talk to Charlie Conklin's ex-wife. She tells me that he leaves behind two.
41 security officers have been shot and killed this year in the line of duty. Another two dozen have been stabbed or beaten to death. Every day, we monitor the news. 400 news sites around the world. We track the news. We record the statistics. We see the incidents that private security are now getting involved in and day out. We see the violence that they're facing, whether they're working in a nightclub, a shopping mall, or a strip club. It doesn't matter these days. Security officers are on the front line. They're being victimized. There's no two way about it. It is highly improbable that any employer or state agency will step in and organize some type of counseling, some type of statewide counseling for the private security industry. So you have to take it upon yourself to be prepared. One of our listeners just said, train like your life depends on it, because it does. And that is exactly right. You have to understand the position that you're in may be dull, may be boring, may be almost seem like nothing will ever take place there. But when you least expect it, when your guard is down, when you're not prepared, that's when it happens. That's when it happens. Tonight, we're talking about being a victim with a badge. It doesn't matter if you're in law enforcement or private security. It doesn't matter if you're in firefighting or EMS. 9 firefighters killed when a roof collapsed in South Carolina at a furniture store last year. 3 firefighters killed in a Georgia industrial fire. An EMT killed just this month by a DUI driver while he was assisting an accident victim. Many people just do not realize, do not understand how being out in the field, being on the front line affects you, both in the front end now as well as the back end later. You may not want people to know it. You may not want to show it. You may not want to announce it, and you may not ask for any assistance. But the facts and the truth are that eventually, if you don't, you'll either commit suicide, explode, become something that you don't want to be, an alcoholic. I strongly urge you to have some type of system set up, whether it be your local clergy, a chaplain service, some type of emergency counseling at your beck and call. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not whether or not you'll need them, it's when. It's when. Because everyone in the public safety, private security field these days, if you're in it long enough, you're going to see the assaults, the murders, the blood, the chaos. You're going to see it. You're going to be involved in it. You're going to feel it. You're going to have to respond to it. You're going to have to live with it in your mind. I still remember the first suicide that I responded to in the 70s. I still remember every detail. I remember every detail of the first shooting I've been involved in. You're never going to forget it. The mind is the best computer in the world. It may not be right there in the forefront of your thought every day, but the mind won't forget it. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, the pictures will come back. The memories will come back. Sometimes they'll haunt you. Protectors of life and property, public safety, public servants, they can and they are very easily the victim. Everyone worries about those who are the victims of the offense, the victims of the accident, the victims of the crisis, never realizing that the responders are also victims. The responder also needs aftercare, also needs counseling. If not, it will take a toll on you, your family, your friends, and your career. You'll have sleeping disorders, eating disorders. You may have a hard time coping with life. You may get angry all the time. You'll need to recognize it and to seek help because you are a victim with a badge. And you shouldn't have to go it alone. You shouldn't have to be out in the cold. You shouldn't have to be all alone, regardless of who your employer is. You shouldn't have to suffer because of a job that you do. You shouldn't have to suffer because you were out there helping someone. So if your employer doesn't recognize your need, if your employer is too selfish to get you the help that you need, seek it out yourself. If you're a member of Private Officer International, you have a chaplain service. You have an aftercare program. take advantage of those member benefits. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't stay silent. Don't think that you're so strong, that you're so independent, that you don't need anybody, that you don't need any help. Don't bottle it all up, because eventually it will explode and be worse than it ever could have, you could have imagined. You have to realize the times are changing. You have to understand that in this position in private security, you will see things that you never thought you would see. You will see suicides. You will see homicides. You will see shootings. You'll be part of robberies. You'll respond to domestics, fights, all sorts of things. Fires, accidents, all kinds of havoc, chaos. And you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. Recognize it. Respond to it. Seek out the help that you need. Check your local community mental health services. Oftentimes, they'll be free or they'll be on a sliding scale. Check with your employer. See if they'll set up something. But if you need to talk, if you feel something isn't right, you feel on edge all the time, you're not sleeping well, you just know, your body is telling you, I need help. Things are building up inside. Don't be stubborn. Don't be foolish. Get the help now before it's too late. First responders, people with the badge, can and are victims. Victims with a badge. That's all for tonight's radio show. We're glad that you join us here live on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Join us on Wednesday for the LP Zone, and again next Monday at this same time and same place, we'll be talking about another great subject. Again, thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Until we meet again here on the radio, be safe in all things that you do. And remember, you're not alone.